Is there something in your way? A battle you can't win? Do you struggle day to day with thoughts of giving in? There's no reason for despair. He has walked this way before. Compassion flowing free, He's there for you and me. That's what grace is for. When all hope fades away and prayers are only words, just reach out in faith and know He's already heard. He'll mend your wounded heart. Peace He will restore, will restore. His arms are open wide. Walk through mercy's door. That's what grace is for. When the answers just won't come, and your soul cannot be still, when it's all been said and done, rest in the Father's will. There's a multitude of sins covered by the blood that poured, blood that cleanses every stain so that none remains. That's what grace is for. When all hope fades away, that's what grace is for. That's what grace is for.
Thank you very much. Good job. God bless you. That was good singing tonight. You're in Acts chapter 12. I want to share something with you that I used at the outset of our last all-night prayer meeting back on the first Friday in the month of March. I want to just give you a little overview, maybe a summary of how important prayer was to the church in Jerusalem and churches that were started during the ministry of the Apostle Paul. I gave this short devotion to the men at the beginning of that all-night prayer meeting. In Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, you have the story of the imprisonment, the murder of James after Herod had put him in jail, in prison. And then, of course, when he saw that it pleased the Jews, in verse 3, he took Peter also and put him in prison and planned to bring him forth after Easter to kill him, I guess. And then the Bible says in verse number 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So in this text right here, we see the power of prayer. Peter is released from prison in answer to the prayers of the church. You know the story. And by the way, they were not praying with great faith. They were praying with very little faith, because when Peter showed up at the door, they said, "You're crazy. He's in jail. We're praying for him to get out." All right? So obviously, a little faith produced great results. Right? That's the power of prayer. Now, look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Here's another familiar passage to us. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul wrote to Timothy, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." And it talks about kings and all that are in authority, lead a quick, quiet, peaceable life, good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Here we see the priority of prayer. Because Paul said, first of all. Now sometimes I get quite a bit convicted when I start adding up the hours, the amount of time that is spent in the ministry of Faith Baptist Church in teaching or in outreach or in this or in that, and compare those minutes to the minutes spent in prayer. And Paul said, first of all. He said, there's a priority here on this thing. First of all. So in Acts 12, you've got the power of prayer. In 1 Timothy 2, you've got the priority of it. Look at Colossians chapter 4. I'm going to go quickly now, four or five places, but you know, more places here. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 2. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 2. Paul wrote to Timothy, to the church at Colossae, he said, "Continue in prayer, and watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest or known as I ought to speak." Here we see the potential of prayer. Paul said, pray that we'll have an open door here, okay? So the potential of prayer. In another scripture similar to this one in 2 Thessalonians, Paul said, pray that the Word of God might have free course. That's the potential of prayer. Okay? So that the Word of God would have free course and that there would be open the door of utterance. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you could turn over there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 25. You can see the personal nature of prayer. This little four-word verse where Paul just simply said to the church, "Brethren, pray for us." So he asked prayer for his missionary group. That's what he's praying for. They're starting churches. They're going from Philippi to Thessalonica, down to Berea. They're going to go to Athens and on to Corinth. You know that whole story. And he says, pray for us. That's his missionary team. So we see the personal nature of prayer. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 30. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and I'm not talking about the Catholic Church there. I'm talking about the church at Rome that was in existence before the Catholic faith was even thought up. Romans chapter 15, verse number 30, Paul said this, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Paul asked the church to strive together with him in prayer. That's the partnership of prayer. It's far better to strive together with someone in prayer than to strive with someone in some kind of problem. That's the wrong kind of strife. All right? Striving together with him in prayer. That's the partnership of prayer. And then when you go to Philemon, that little one-chapter book, Philemon, back there behind the book of Titus, and verse number 22, Paul wrote to this man, Philemon, and he said this in verse 22, "But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you." That's the provision of prayer. Paul said, "Timothy, Philemon, I believe that through your prayers God's going to make some provisions for me." Now, I did all that. That's six different scriptures. In Acts, you see the power of prayer, Acts 12. 1 Timothy 2, the priority. Colossians 4 and 2 Thessalonians 3, the potential. 1 Thessalonians 5, the personal nature of prayer. Romans 15, the partnership of prayer. And Philemon, verse 22, the provision of prayer. Prayer played a pretty important part in the life and ministry of the New Testament church in the first century. Prayer plays a fairly important part, or should, in our ministry here. Folks, every time we have had these all-night prayer meetings, we have come away from those seeing God do specific, wonderful things in answer to prayer. If our church ever gets that, if we ever get that, there's something about, I could go to Matthew 16, I could go to Matthew 18, I could go to John chapter, John chapter 20. I could go to those three chapters and show you where there are specific promises given to a church concerning this matter of prayer. Whatsoever you bind on earth should be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth should be loosed in heaven is a prayer promise. And it's interesting to me. Do you notice where that starts? It starts on earth. Whatever you bind on earth, be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, be loosed in heaven. That's a prayer promise to a church. There's something wonderful about having the opportunity personally to talk to God. I talked to the young people yesterday in chapel. I love that text over in Nehemiah, where Nehemiah is in the middle of his workday and he's faced with something that he needs God's help on, and he prayed to God and he got the help that he needed right then. He was not a pastor. He was not a priest. He was not a deacon. He was a working man on the clock. And he didn't have to drop to his knees in a dark room and close his eyes and get in a position of prayer. From his heart, in the middle of his responsibilities, he let a cry out, "Oh God, help me." And God did. So there's something wonderful about that private prayer, but there's something really powerful when a church prays together. Something really powerful when a church prays together. We have a wonderful day coming up this Sunday. I'm so excited about it. I just can't tell you how excited I am about some of the things that I believe we could see happen on Sunday. We're praying for God to do some wonderful things. I know there are some people that are going to be here who people are praying specifically for them to be saved. To be saved. And so what we're going to do tonight is we're going to go to prayer. We'll give you a little glimpse of what we do at our all-night prayer meeting. No, we're not going to be here all night, okay? Don't worry, you got stuff to do. We're going to be here for the regular amount of time, but I do have it structured, and this is what we're going to go to prayer as a church for this coming Sunday. Okay, fellas, if you'll help us. First thing I want to do, before you hand these out, I want us to get, we need to be up, we need to be in groups. I don't want anybody left out. I was thinking 3 to a group is probably the best size group, but if you need, and I can pray with you two fellas right here, okay? And if you need to go to 2 or 4, that's okay. But I'd like us to get grouped up now before we pass the papers out here, guys. Brother Joe, yeah, before we pass those out, we're going to get grouped up together, okay? So I want you to get grouped up. We're going to group together tonight. And we're groups of 3 or groups of 2 or groups of 3 or 4. But let's make sure everybody gets together. And you say, man, we've never done this. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to follow some kind of little ditty passed down to some crazy thing. Some headquarters somewhere. We can kind of do what we want because we're an independent church. So let's get together. Let's have prayer time tonight, okay? I'm going to help you. You're not going to be struggling for what to pray for here, okay? Because just a minute, you're going to get this paper. But we need to. I'm not sure we got enough for everybody, so that's why there needs to be 1 per group, okay? 1 paper per group, okay? All right. Yeah, if you have to move around, move around. It's okay, all right? Walk around a little bit. Doesn't matter. Okay, at least, okay. Now, let's get 1 paper to every group, all right? Let's get 1 paper to every group, and that'll be helpful, okay? Let's get 1 paper to every group. So if your group needs a paper, raise your hand, and they'll make sure that they get a paper to you, okay? Make sure you get a paper there. We don't need the pianist or the organist. We got some other type stuff, so. All right? We're going to have 3 prayer periods. They're going to last 10 minutes each. Okay? That's a half an hour. Believe me, this will go quicker than you think it will. We're here 7 hours, and it goes really fast. Really fast. This is going to go real quick. All right? Quicker than you think it will. Okay, every group got a prayer? Every group got a prayer list? All right, if there's a group of 4, give 2 prayer lists out, because we're not going to use them after tonight. They won't be any good. Everybody, every group got a list? Every group got a prayer list? All right. Prayer time number 1. This is what we need to do. We need to start off personally thanking God for the 4 things that I listed there. Let's thank God for our salvation. Let's thank God for our Savior. Let's thank God for our security. Let's thank God for our privilege to serve Him. I was visiting with Matt Maxwell last night. We made a visit on a house. And all I'll say, folks, is when we drove away, I said to Matt, don't you thank God for the family you were reared in? I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of broken foundations out there. It's just sad. Just sad. Let's praise God for our salvation. Let's praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's praise Him for our security in Christ. Let's praise Him for our privilege to serve Him. And then we also want to ask God to cleanse us and prepare us and to use us this weekend, these next several days. Okay? That's going to take, we're going to do that for 10 minutes. At the end of 10 minutes, I'll have a brief close of prayer publicly, and then we'll get on to prayer time number two. All right? So just you can sit in the pew, you can get on your knees, whatever you want to do. It's going to last for 10 minutes. It's 7:52. So at 8:02, I'll get up here and we'll go to prayer time number two. Okay. All right, take a song book. And we don't need any instruments. We'll just sing right from our seat tonight. 345, we'll sing it a cappella. What a friend we have in Jesus. Just a couple of verses here, and then we'll get on to prayer time number two here, okay? What a friend we have in Jesus. I'll pitch it. Let's try to sing it together. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Oh, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Let's sing the third now. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. You know, if you do something for somebody, you appreciate it if they're grateful and thankful. And I don't think our God's any different. And I think we take a few minutes just to thank Him for how good He is to us. I think He really appreciates that. Amen. So that was good. Now, the prayer time number two, there's five things, okay? And just think, folks, as you pray, think about what the statement is. Don't just read the words, but think about it. Safety for the day. We got a lot of buses going out. We got a lot of different things going on. The devil would love to cause a headache on Sunday. You know that. So let's pray for safety. People coming to church, people for the first time. So let's pray for safety for the day. Let's pray for Brother Coral to have the power of God, okay? Let's pray for that. And let's pray for complete liberty of the Holy Spirit to be here. Now, the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I wish I could explain this to you. A man said one time to me, he said, Pastor, we pray for the liberty of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm not sure I understand what you mean. It's just freedom, folks. Freedom to be, the opportunity to be free from cares about what's happening out there. The opportunity to be free to think about God, to worship God, to sing, to listen to the preaching, to have the Holy Spirit speak to our heart. Only He gives that kind of liberty. I promise you, if you're in the pulpit, you know when there's a tight service and when there's a free service. We've had some free services on Sunday morning for the past several weeks. It's been wonderful. Amen. Let's pray for that liberty again, okay? Let's pray for protection from devils and Satan. You know what I pray in that sentence right there? I pray for two things. I plead two things. I plead the blood of Christ, and I plead the name of Christ. The devil cannot stand up to the blood of Christ, and he cannot stand up to the name of Christ. Can't do it. Something else he can't do. He can't take it when folks are praising God. So I think it's good that we thank the Lord tonight. And then let's pray for tender hearts to the preaching, okay? And not just the lost people who might be coming, but our own hearts as we hear some preaching over two or three days. Let's pray for our own hearts to be tender to the preaching, okay? So that's what we'll do in the next 10 minutes, and then we'll move on to the last one, okay? Let's go ahead quickly to the third time, because this is a very important one, and I want to spend a good 10 minutes on this. Fellows, we're going to pray and ask God for the lost. And on the tables are those yellow slips of paper that have the names of people that have been invited. I want to give one of those out to every group, try to cover the groups. I don't know where Brother Griffin went, but right there, Brother Harold, thank you. Let's get those out. Yeah, help us up, if you would, please. If one, I don't know how many there are, so start with one per group. One per group. You're going to get the name of somebody that's been invited to church on Sunday. Now, I don't know the need of that person, okay? I don't know if they need salvation. I don't know if they just have another need spiritually. But they have a need, you can rest assured, okay? So we'll take just a moment and get one slip out to every group, and then if we have to double up, we will. Now, there are lines on your piece of paper. This is what this is for. If there's a name that your group wants to pray for, write that name on that line, okay? Maybe you had a paper filled out and somebody, some other group got your paper, or maybe there's somebody that's not on the paper. So write a name on that piece of paper right there and have your group pray for that person. Here's what we got to pray. We got to pray that there will be Holy Spirit conviction and conversion. Let me share a couple of good things with you. Sunday, there were, four or five folks saved here in the auditorium Sunday morning. Brother Caleb followed up on a lady that sat over here who did not come forward when he got to the door to just follow up on her and thank her for coming to the church. She said, you know, I wanted to go forward in the worst way and get saved, but I was nervous. And by the time I worked up enough courage to come forward, it closed down. And he was able to go in and sit down with her and show her how to be saved, and she was saved last night. Then he went to another person who was here, Tiffany, sat with you and Chris. What was her name? Huh? Felicia? Okay. She and Adam had to go to an Easter dinner after church. They went by the house to pick up a dessert that she had made. They run into the house, get the dessert, run back out and leave. She ran into the house. She didn't come out. 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes. She never came. Finally, she came out. And Adam said to her, "What have you done? Where have you been?" And she said, "I had to get saved." She got down on her knees in her home. After she got home here and trusted Christ as her Savior, and Caleb sat down with her and went through that booklet. Is this what you did? Yes, this is what I did. This is, yes, I know that I am saved. I got saved right here in this place on Sunday after. That's called conviction. No man can do that. Now, you got some people coming Sunday who folks in our church would love to see get saved, but there will never be conversion until there's first conviction. Never. So you pray for the Holy Spirit to convict hearts, okay? And for the conversion to take place. And that's where that liberty comes in. Intended so that people can just be free to think about. Folks, if people don't stop long enough to think about what's being said, think about their condition, they'll never get saved. They've got to be free from all the cares that are out this world and think about God. So let's pray to that end tonight. You got a name on that piece of paper. Did every group get a piece of paper? Every group get a piece of paper. Then there's room. Okay, we're out though. There's room for you to put a name on there that maybe is not on that orange piece of paper if you think of somebody. And just write Zach on your paper right there. That's enough. Okay? That's all I'll say. Just write Zach and you pray for him. And then if you want to add a name or two to it, we'll go 10 minutes and we're done. All right? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time we could spend with you tonight and talking to you. God, we're certainly not worthy in ourselves of you even listening to us, much less answering these requests. But God, thank you for Jesus. And in his name we can come to you, and certainly he is worthy for you to listen to. And we realize, God, that if you answer these prayers according to what we've asked, it was through him, certainly not because of us. God, we acknowledge tonight our own shortcomings and how frail we are, but we also acknowledge how powerful you are. God, we've seen you work and do some wonderful things. We just pray that you'll display your mighty hand again this Sunday. God, bless the services. May there be no distractions. Bless the people who've been invited. I pray that you'll put a hook in their nose and their jaw and drag them in by the power of the Holy Spirit this Sunday. God, may nothing stop them from coming, and may deep conviction fall where it's needed. Lord, I know there are some people in this room whose hearts are very anxious for Sunday for a loved one. So please, oh God, please, do a good work for your honor, for your glory. This is not, God, for us. This is for people who need to know you. And then, Lord, for our own hearts to be touched and stirred by the preaching, because we're such a needy people. Bless us. Thank you for these moments we had with you tonight. God, it was good to assemble as a church family on this Wednesday night and just talk to you. Hear us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen and amen.